League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
What are we starting with this week?
2022. Hello, 2022 people.
A YouTube comment?
Yes.
Review.
Hey. In 2022. So this review is 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. A 5-star one if you don't mind. It says, too funny for deadlifts. I don't normally leave reviews on podcasts, but this one is just too good not to. I was at the gym this morning listening to the sleepwalking episode and had to stop midway through my deadlift because I was laughing so hard. Got some funny looks, but hey, they're all missing out. Not only is this podcast funny, I learned so much in an accessible way. I definitely recommend.
I never imagined us being a podcast that would be listened to at the gym.
I love listening to podcasts
especially
at the gym.
Especially whilst deadlifting.
Yeah. It was mind over matter, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for listening to us whilst you pump that iron.
Getting brainy and brawny.
I hope you're doing it right now. If you are.
I probably are.
You can do it. We believe in you.
Well, happy bloody new year. Before we actually get into the episode, I do want to say our calendars are still available. And what are you thinking? It's January? A calendar in January? Yes. Well, actually, what you get if you get this calendar is a bonus episode that is exclusive to the people that have purchased the calendar.
Wow.
Totally exclusive episode. So like under 100 people get to listen to this episode. And if you buy a Sci Guys calendar, you get to be one of them.
Wow.
So my question for you all is, there's 2 questions this week. Well, 3 questions, actually. 1, do you have a New Year's resolution? 2, what is it? And 3, what's your favorite planet? If you're listening on an audio version, head over to YouTube and let us know in the comments.
That question 3 is a real curveball.
Isn't it?
It is. Well, it'll make sense with the episode.
Okay.
Shall we start the show?
Let's
start the show.
Hello and welcome to the Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined here by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutford.
Yes, you are.
Howdy.
This week, we're talking.
No way.
About the moon.
Ooh. Landing? So you know about the moon landing, right? We're not going to talk about any of the conspiracies today. That is another episode entirely. If you want to hear about moon landing conspiracies, you can hear about that in another episode that we might do in the future. If you want to hear about the actual rockets, the shuttles that you use to get there, that could be another episode in itself. Basically, the moon landing is a massive, massive topic. I realized when I started trying to research it. So instead of talking about the Apollo missions or all of that stuff, even Neil Armstrong, we're going to be focusing just on the moon landing today because it is really bloody cool. And there's a lot of fun little stories that I've managed to find from a number of different places. So what do you know about the moon landing?
I know that their poo is still there.
Oh.
That was not on the list of things that they left. But
their footprints are still there.
Yes.
And yes.
That is on the list of
that
things that they
the
left.
List. There you go.
They probably didn't want to, they didn't want to bring that one up.
No. And scientists actually want the poo back because they want to study it.
Because they love it. They're just some
fetishists.
Just some scat scientists that love that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, probably is someone who would really like to sniff that, actually. Someone out there.
It's probably
moving on.
Probably a bit cold.
I just think that somebody will. There'll be someone.
Is it you, Luke? Is that what you're hinting at?
Not me.
I guess somebody would like to smell Neil Armstrong's poo.
I don't know who
could
it be anybody.
Well, it's not just Neil Armstrong's poo, is it? It's poo that's been there for like 50 years.
You got way more excited when you said that, which is not helping your case.
My defense.
Well, it's not just Neil Armstrong's poo, Corey.
It was really old, one of a kind poo.
But to be fair, at some point, right, like being interested in a really old poo becomes a fine thing to do
A job.
Yeah, right. Because you could be fossilized.
Yeah.
And whatever, if something is old enough to be fossilized, then it's okay to have like a weird obsession with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic. So what do you know about the moon?
Round.
Well,
it's up there.
It is.
It's up there.
I don't even.
It could be down there. It could be the side of the planet.
Do you guys know anything else about the moon?
It's
maybe
like
something.
One light second away.
Do you know that in a distance that people understand?
No.
I think it's the distance it takes light to travel in 1 second.
Can I rephrase that? Can I rephrase my question?
You got it. You nailed that.
I'm going to rephrase my question. My question is no longer... Do you know anything about the moon?
Isn't there always... Isn't just one side of the moon that always faces the Earth?
Yeah, okay, there we go. Yeah, good. Okay. So, fantastic.
I knew that about the moon.
You've answered my next question. Do you know anything useful about the moon?
There's only ever one side that faces the Earth.
Yeah, so yeah. So let's just run through it real quick. Yeah, Luke, what were you about to say?
I was going
to
say it's covered in craters.
Yeah. That is true.
Like, it defends us from asteroids, apparently.
Yeah, well, yeah. It could block a whole lot of little stuff that's flying through space trying to hit us. Mm. So, the moon is Earth's only natural satellite. And it's actually the fifth largest moon in the solar system, which is pretty cool. It's actually bigger than Pluto as well. It's about, I think, It's about one quarter the size of Earth. Just a little bit bigger than a quarter the size of Earth. 27% the size of Earth, which is a way bigger ratio of moon to planet size than any other planet in our solar system.
I thought it was way smaller than that.
Right? No, it's pretty big. And, you know, it's covered in craters, as Luke said. It's about 384,400 kilometers away from Earth on average. It's perigee, so that's the closest point it gets to Earth. That is 363,300 kilometers. And its apogee, which is the farthest away it gets, is 405,500 kilometers away from Earth. Yeah.
Socially distanced.
Yes.
So it has an elliptical orbit.
So the Earth and the moon are tidally locked. That basically means that their rotations are in sync so that we only see one side of the moon. In fact, the first time we saw the other side of the moon was when the Russians, the Soviets, went and saw it. I mean, they didn't go to see it. They just kind of swung past it, had a little look-see.
But was it with people on board?
Let me look. I have it here, and I can't remember. A Soviet spacecraft flew past in 1959. So, no.
Okay.
That was 2 years before the people went up there.
Right.
So, yeah. They flew past, they took some pickies, and we had a little look.
And the dark side of the moon's not actually dark.
There's no dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no dark.
We just can't see it.
Yeah. Those are two very different things.
Yeah.
It'll be dark sometimes.
I mean...
the side we see is dark sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, then we'd know it's not, because we don't see it then.
Well... It's facing us. We could theoretically see it if it was light.
If it wasn't dark, yeah.
If it wasn't dark.
So that is the moon. It sits up there. Oh, also, it's 15% the gravity that you get on Earth. 70% the gravity that you get on Earth. The reason that the 15% number is interesting is because apparently 15% is roughly the level at which the lower limit that humans need to be able to sort of balance and orient themselves.
Oh, so we're just there.
Yeah. So the moon is like just big enough.
That's handy.
Yeah, that's lucky,
thanks,
isn't
God.
It? No. No.
Okay, sorry. No.
Good. Okay. You take back that. You take back that faith.
Okay. Don't you listen to him, God.
You tell God to suck it.
No.
Luke?
Suck it, God.
There you go. Wow. I am more powerful than God.
Well. Suck it, Corey. That's from God, sorry.
No.
You're equally as powerful as God now.
I'm okay with that. I guess I can settle.
Corey and God are fighting again. So, I'm not an owl.
A frequent occurrence.
So, on the lead up to the moon landing, can you let me know maybe when was the first sort of fixed wing, like sort of motorized powered flight? When was that? I should be more clear. The Wright brothers flight. So the first powered, sustained, and controlled airplane flight.
Early 1900s.
Yep.
1908?
1903.
Oh, that's the other one I was going to say. Gosh,
that's okay. So 1903, and actually the Orville, not the Orville, the Wright that lived the longest was Orville, and he lived to 1948, which was only, you know, about, what, 21 years before they sent people to the moon.
Oh yeah. Mm.
So that kind of overlap there is ridiculous. Like, the person that invented the first airplane lived on the planet at the same time as the man that first went to the moon.
Yeah.
There's a really interesting thing about this, which I saw online. There was like all the newspapers at the time leading up to the Wright brothers' flight being like, this is not going to work. And then when we're going to the moon, loads of newspapers being like, this is not going to work. And the moral of the story is
it worked.
Yeah, probably maybe just ignore the newspaper sometimes. Yeah. Things.
So yeah, like it's crazy, right? The Wright brothers flew for the first time in 1903, and then in 1969, we put a man on the moon. That's only 66 years afterwards. And we'd already put someone in space in 1961. There you go.
Yeah.
I
feel like we haven't done anything as impressive in the next 60 years. Like, we've done lots of interesting things, but like going from inventing flight to going to the moon, like it's now been nearly 60 years since we went to the moon. Mm. What have we really done of Mars. That level of a leap?
Mars is the next thing, isn't it?
Well, but that was not that level of a leap.
No, it's just going further, isn't it? It's doing the same thing.
It's not iterative. Well,
I mean, Mars is quite a bit of a leap from the moon. But not enough.
Yeah, probably quite a big jump, actually.
Yeah.
I can't jump that far.
My legs are pretty strong, though. But, I mean, it's not, do you know what I mean? It's on the same sort of, the same, I guess, order of magnitude,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know, where else? Finding another, like, same dimension. I guess the only other thing would be finding an alternate dimension or universe and popping there.
Ah, string theory.
That would be it.
Hurry up.
But I mean, I think we'll get to that.
We could do time.
Because that was actually a thought that I was having when I was writing this episode. It feels like that kind of massive event is over, and we'll get to that in a sec. So, yeah. So Yuri Gagarin, we're on first name terms here. Yuri and Shepard hopped up to space in 1961, the 12th of the 4th, if you want to know specifically. And then, why do you think the Americans decided to try to put a man on the moon? What about the Soviets doing something?
It's because in the 60s. The Americans and the Soviets had a dick measuring contest, mm-hmm. and the rules of the game were who gets to space first, and the Soviets won it, and the Americans went, no, actually, it's who gets to the moon first now.
Yeah, they change the Americans do what they like to do, which is change the rules when they're losing. So John F. Kennedy, perhaps America's sexiest president.
Not a
personal opinion, just a fact.
Objective truth. Yeah.
So... He gave a speech. I think this was to Congress in 1961. And you know, part of that, I've got a few quotes here. So one of them is, "I believe this nation should commit itself to." I'm not going to do the accent. "I believe this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth." And he also said, "We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard." And I don't want to read out this whole quote, but he also said something that kind of talks about how, you know, I'll read this part of it. "For space science, like nuclear science and all technology, has no conscience of its own. Whether it will become a force for good or ill depends on man, and only if the United States occupies a position of preeminence can we help decide whether this new ocean will be a sea of peace or a new terrifying theater of war."
This quote has always confused me, this first, like at the top of this. So what you said was, "We choose to do the other things." Right, that always struck me as kind of feels like something Donald Trump would say, because it's like you've forgotten all the other things that you do.
Yeah. I think it's referencing previous part of the speech.
Sure. It just is like the rest of the speech is so eloquent and like wonderfully put, and there's like, "and do the other things.
All the other things.
We choose to go to space and other things.
And the rest.
Not because they are easy." By the way, I was interested, if you were America's sexiest president of all time, mm-hmm. i.e. if you were in that position of power, what would be your... "We choose to do this thing not because it is easy, but because it is hard." Like, what would your target be?
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs? We'll bring them back.
Bring them back.
Yeah, make dinosaurs.
But what way does that... I don't think that does the same level of like, "Oh, this is actually potentially helpful." And
how
and...
could people be depressed?
No.
If they could just go see a little dinosaur.
I'll tell you how. Because they have depression.
Nah.
People would say, how can people be depressed when they can fly around the earth in a day?
The dinosaurs eat them.
Exactly. Right, it solves all the problems.
No, Corey.
That's quite depressing.
Answer my question seriously.
What? I genuinely think I would find some way to make dinosaurs something that America could rally behind.
But
I'd tell them that they'd be useful in war, and I'd be lying. I don't care. I want dinosaurs. If I'm the most powerful man on the planet, I'm making dinosaurs.
You're such a biologist.
What? No, I just like dinosaurs.
Yeah, and a biologist. And okay, you are a biologist.
I mean, it's fine. Like, I don't know, quantum physics. But only what if I can use it to make dinosaurs. Time travel, then?
Go back in time and get them.
Yes!
Bring them to the future.
Exactly!
Okay, fine.
No, I'm just interested in knowing, like, what is something that... Okay, I suppose that... Because that would... There are lots of technologies that would be required to be invented and perfected in order to bring those dinosaurs back. So I suppose that is interesting because, like, the space race was not only about, like, measuring your dick against the Russians, but also about, like, it has a load of other benefits because other technologies have to be invented. Like, I think the MRI machine is directly related to our needing to go to space.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I've read that before. I don't know off the top of my head. May be wrong. Don't take that as scientific fact. But other technologies exist because of the space race.
Well, that's true. And, well, I mean, really, interestingly, a lot of technologies that were used in getting to space were taken from war efforts. So that's like, I think other than war, the space race was one of the big things that really pushed forward technology, which is kind of depressing. And actually, it's kind of what I want to talk about here, in that, so you'd maybe take from JFK's speeches that he was really interested in getting to space, but actually, he wasn't. In 1962, he had a meeting with advisors and NASA administrators, and this is all sort of leaked afterwards, wherein he said, "I'm not that interested in space."
That is quite a damning quote.
Yeah. So it turns out that basically the Soviet Union obviously sent someone to space just after JFK was inaugurated. So we asked his VP, Lyndon B. Johnson, what they could do to he's like, what could we do to get one up on the commies?
We do the same thing.
Yes, but better.
But we land on something.
Exactly. And so Johnson said back that, like, sending a manned mission to the moon would probably do it. And in fact, in 1958, Johnson had said, control of space is control of the world. So JFK's whole thing of technology has no morality. It is what man chooses to do with it that decides what technology
is.
But we want to do it to stick it to the Russians and control space. Like, yeah. So it's interesting for a man who is very much, like, you know, fully intending just to win political power, or like global political power, saying it has no morality. You're doing a bad thing there, buddy. But no, the space race that's not to say that getting to space, putting man on the moon, wasn't an incredible achievement.
Yeah.
It was, and I'm absolutely not trying to sort of belittle that at all. I just mean that JFK's whole sort of idealistic speech was maybe not entirely indicative of how JFK viewed the situation.
Are you suggesting the politicians sometimes put spin on things and they aren't really the intention that is actually there?
No, I'm saying they're liars.
Ah, that's what I said, just more bluntly.
Yeah. I'm not a politician.
You think? This is fascinating. This is mind-blowing to me. I have no idea.
Here's a fun fact. Boris Johnson...
What?
Lies all the time.
No flipping way.
Shut up. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's so fun.
Yes.
And he's got silly yes. hair. He wouldn't lie.
It's interesting. Do you know Tony?
The tiger?
Oh, no. I'm Blair? Talking about our ex-prime minister, Tony Blair.
Oh, yes.
Who we'd never refer to as just Tony.
No.
But we refer to Boris as Boris. Wonder what that one is.
Oh, God.
Parasocial relationships, but that's not for this episode. We're talking
about
the moon.
Do we have a parasocial relationship with Boris Johnson?
Probably.
I guess we
do.
Yeah, that's unhealthy.
I mean, any relationship
with Boris
Johnson is
unhealthy.
I do think
he's my best friend, to be
fair. Luke, you're not. Stop. People are going to think you're a Tory.
Really? Okay, I'm not a Tory.
Boris's children,
but
he is
Alfie Days. So the Apollo program. How much do you think it cost?
$100 billion.
Not Apollo 11. Overall, what? Really?
$100 billion.
Yeah. Adjusting for inflation.
Yeah,
that is Wow, how did you?
I probably picked that up somewhere.
Wow. Yeah. So I literally have it saying here, costing $24 billion, close to $100 billion in today's dollars.
I must have picked that up somewhere. I don't know.
Good job. Thanks. This is not just over the one moon landing. This is the entire Apollo project, which continued past the first moon landing, and obviously extended well before it, because the moon landing was Apollo 11. So the Apollo program, it had about 400,000 engineers, technicians, and scientists involved, which is incredible. And obviously in 1961, Kennedy sort of said, we're getting to space before the end of this century. Obviously, before the end of this decade. Obviously, he died before that happened. But Nixon took over, and they got to space and got to the moon, which is a pretty bloody cool. In 1966, they launched the first unmanned Apollo mission, which was testing the launch vehicles and all the spacecraft, seeing how that would work together. In 1967, they had the massive tragedy with the Apollo spacecraft that basically exploded on the Saturn rocket and three astronauts died. But then in 1968, they basically sort of rallied and they sent the first manned Apollo mission that went around Earth, so orbited Earth. And then in 1968, they took three astronauts to the far side of the moon and back. And then in March of 1969, they tested the lunar module for the first time whilst it was in Earth orbit. And then May 1969, they sent three astronauts from Apollo 10, took the first complete Apollo spacecraft around the moon in a dry run for the July mission.
Wow. Right?
So we're now going to talk really briefly about the training and then what we didn't know about the moon. And then we'll get into the actual landing, which is so much cool stuff from this. So what do you think they needed to... Well, I'll say this. How do you think you can train someone to walk in microgravity or low gravity without... when you're in the 60s?
Put them underwater.
So that's interesting, because the issue with doing it underwater is, yeah, you have the buoyancy kind of counteracting your weight, but on the moon there's not really much air resistance, and in water there is a lot of water resistance, which is why you're able to swim through it, right?
Yeah.
So that wouldn't necessarily work. Do you have any ideas, Jamp?
Chuck them up in the air in a plane, and then the plane goes down really quick.
This was in 1969.
Oh, they weren't doing that then.
So they weren't doing... So, and that would be for micro... So what both of you guys are thinking Alton of Towers. Is... I said that was in 1969. What I meant is, as in, it's 1969, they're going to the moon.
Yes.
They're not just going... They're not just trying to go and survive in space. They're trying to figure out how they can maneuver on the moon. So
right, okay, so it's not zero.
So it's not, we're not talking about like proper microgravity, right. Like close to zero G.
Right.
We're talking the sort of 17% gravity.
Lots of helium balloons attached to them.
No way.
Why would you look? Why would you? I didn't. That was no.
Oh, I thought I got it there.
No, of course not.
I thought that was a brilliant idea.
I'd be brilliant in 1969.
No, they just they had them walk on a wall kind of sideways.
How does that work?
Or they supported a lot of their weight and they had to walk on the wall sideways.
I obviously didn't think of the helium balloon idea.
They should try helium. There's more of it back.
It's kind of the same principle in that they supported their weight. They just didn't use helium. They used a harness. And why would they? No, that's the harness is a better idea than the helium. I don't know why I'm even.
But how did they simulate the 17% gravity if they're walking on the side of the wall?
Because the harness is taking a lot of your weight, right? And so you're walking kind of like at an angle on the wall. So. It's you're kind of suspended on your side by straps, and then you walk along a wall that's kind of tilted. Basically, so the straps are taking a lot of your weight,
yeah.
And it's you're able to sort of bounce.
Why do you have to be tilted? Why not just be walking on flat, but you've got a harness taking most of your weight?
It's because it's not quite the same thing. I think the way that the weight is distributed makes a difference, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And also you wouldn't still be experiencing that kind of doubt. You'd still be experiencing the same downward force of gravity. The harness would just be taking it off you at certain points.
Yeah. Like so your arms would still feel it.
Yeah.
But that's the same even if you're sideways.
Yeah, but like it's not downward if the wall is kind of tilted,
okay.
Right?
Interesting.
Yeah. I guess. I'm not really sure. This is more just kind of like, this is just something I came across, about a weird little thing that they did.
I'm sure they had a good reason.
I'm sure they did, but again,
not enough helium.
Maybe that'll be another episode, like on the actual training of going to the moon. Because like I said, there is so much and I could not focus, like I could not like cover it all. I can touch on some little bits and then like, you know, focus really a lot on the landing. So
if they had watched Up, I would know.
Well, it was a good 50 years before Up.
No excuse.
Try harder.
That's not true. A good 40 years before Up.
Should watch this episode.
Try harder. Yeah.
Right. So they also practiced taking off and landing in the lunar landing training vehicle in Houston. They had a lot of fake moon sets that they used to pretend.
Oh, did they, Corey? That's very interesting.
Okay. No. So.
And some camera and lighting.
No. Let me explain. They made craters in Arizona.
Did they?
At Cinder Lake.
Ooh.
To make something that looked like the moon's surface so that they could do a geological survey like they would do on the moon.
That's what they say.
That is what they say because that is what happens. Okay?
Yeah.
If you want to talk about the conspiracies, you can wait until later this year.
Okay.
It's coming up.
I don't want to. We went to the moon. It's fine.
Yeah, I know. But I want to talk about the conspiracies because they're fun.
Okay. And what if we didn't?
No, we did.
Oh, now you're thinking like a conspiracy theorist.
The only person that went to the moon is Diana. She didn't die. She just went to the moon.
Oh.
She lives there now with Tupac.
That's so nice. Oh,
cool. Yeah,
I'm happy.
Well, Tupac must have gone there as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She and Tupac live there together.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
So it wasn't just Diana.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Sorry. Woof. Gosh.
You forgot Tupac.
Unless Tupac was always there. You didn't go to the
Maybe.
Moon.
Tupac is simply the moon. That is just his. Yeah. So Tupac is his earthly form.
He just projected himself to Earth and then got bored of it.
So what do you think we didn't know about the moon before we went
there? Tupac lives there.
No.
With Diana.
Let's be real. Let's be serious. What do we not know about the moon before we went there? Because this is, like, you got to think. This is back to a time where no one had, you've never lived in a time where no one had been on the moon.
We didn't know what it was made of.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So the way that kind of came about is that we didn't know what the surface would be like, whether it would be sort of soft or hard. We now know that, like, it is hard. Basically, we'd seen from, you know, our studying it, we'd seen that it was kind of, there was this kind of like soft layer, but we couldn't tell how deep that layer was.
That's what happens when you leave cheese for a long time.
It's not made of cheese.
No?
No, it's made of rocks.
Well, doesn't the cheese go hard?
Yeah,
doesn't,
well, exactly. Like, so, it's,
yeah,
so the but the bits underneath,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The surface level of the cheese goes hard and the inside is soft. Still.
So, and then the core
there is a top level of soft,
yeah,
and then below that hard, but they couldn't tell how thick the salt level was, which is obviously important for landing a lunar module, because if it's very soft, like, there are parts of Earth where you wouldn't want to land something.
It'll just trampoline you back into space.
More that it would probably, it could sink and break.
Oh. Yeah, and then you couldn't get back off.
Rather than,
right. Well, it's a trampoline. It's simple.
No.
I'm being difficult for no reason. I'm sorry.
So the moon surface was not trampolines, but we didn't know that for a fact back then.
That's
we also
true.
And we also wanted to know,
be fair, Cara, you don't know it's not trampolines. You're just believing what they've told you.
Sure, I guess I'm believing that Neil Armstrong, maybe there is the same gravity
big
on the moon
trampoline
as there
doesn't want you to know where they get all the trampolines from.
You believe the hard
from.
Moon propaganda. I'm a trampoline moon.
So where did the craters on the moon come from? We didn't know where those had come from.
Tupac.
No.
His massive farts.
So back before we went to the moon, we actually didn't know where the craters came from, which is, I
asteroids,
think, really interesting.
Impacts?
Yeah, we know that now.
Cool. I could have told them that.
No, but you... but we didn't know it then. And so there were two theories. So they believed that either it was volcanic activity on the moon or impacts between the moon and other stuff that's in space. Mm. So now we know that it was from other stuff hitting the moon, which is pretty good because it stops things from hitting us, which is nice.
Yeah, that's always interesting because the moon is quite tiny compared to the amount of space around the Earth. So is it like, it only stops a tiny proportion of asteroids actually getting to Earth, I
assume. But also the gravity of it will.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah. And it moves.
Yeah.
So it catches things.
Yeah.
Thanks, Moon. That's very nice of you.
You are welcome, Luke.
Wow. The Moon is a really special guest.
Okay, I'll edit something.
Thank you.
It'll be a sentient cheese ball.
With the Moon from Bear in the Big Blue House.
Yes.
So... Now it is time to know. No, shit, sorry. Now it is time to talk about the actual mission to the moon.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this is the Apollo 11 mission. It launched at 9:32 a.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, I think, EDT, on July 16th. So it got into lunar orbit on July 19th. It landed on the 20th of July, 1969. And that is it for our episode today. That is the moon landing.
Bye-bye. Quick fire quiz.
Goodbye. No, I'm joking. So there was Neil Armstrong, who was born in 1930, died in 2012. He was 38 at the time. He was a civilian research pilot, and he commanded the mission. You had Buzz Aldrin, Edwin Buzz Aldrin. Buzz is not his actual first name. It is Edwin. He was born in 1930 and is still kicking. And Michael Collins, who was born also in 1930. I guess they just wanted 38-year-olds.
just something about them.
Criteria.
I don't know. That was actually the whole thing. They didn't know who would be best suited to going into space and going to the moon. Mm. They were thinking like, oh, you know, maybe people, you know, so there's low gravity on the moon and there's like, you know, not very much air. So maybe people that are mountain climbers, because mountain climbers are good with thin, like thin air, or maybe it could be dangerous. So maybe like matadors or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like they were thinking like, what, now we know pilots are really good at it. And scientists that are also pilots are very good. Someone that can you can train to do whatever experiments you need to get done. That's who we send to space now. So they were all born in 1930, and Michael Collins died in April 2021. You probably don't know who Michael Collins is because he didn't actually go to the moon.
He's the guy who waited in the capsule above the moon.
Yeah, he did.
Imagine going all the way and then not getting to walk on it.
It really would wind me up, honestly. Do you not think it'd be, which of us three do you think it'd be? Not it.
Well, you two would bully me into waiting.
I wouldn't bully.
I'd be Michael.
I wouldn't bully either of you into waiting. I don't care which of you, one of you waits, so long as I go to the moon.
Yeah.
And I'd then Luke would outlogic me.
In what way?
I honestly feel, I'm going to be honest, I feel like both of you would be like, oh no, I don't want, no, I don't want to.
I was going to say, I would definitely be going, no, it's okay, you go, Jem.
I would just end up going by myself.
We'll watch you. We can't decide, so we'll both wait.
Right, you guys wait back. I'll pop down.
Or we band together and we stop Corey.
That'd be very racist.
Mutiny.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. Or is it just automatically very racist?
I don't know. Banding together to stop me going to the moon?
Are all the people who've been to the moon white?
I think so. Okay. I don't know. This is the thing. I've only looked into this one moon landing because there is too much.
So just don't. Me and Jamp can just stay behind. Don't even take us near the moon.
Oh, wait. China went to the moon, didn't they?
Maybe, yeah.
They not go to the moon?
No, they sent a lunar lander to the moon. They're going to the moon soon.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, good for them, I suppose.
Unlikely that they'll send any black people, but they will.
More, they'd probably send someone that isn't white, which would be nice.
Yeah, sure.
You know? More than likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Right? Yeah. You'd have to try it pretty hard.
I'd hedge my bets, yeah.
I think it's a pretty good chance there, yeah, Corey.
I guess we'll see. So,
hey, let's just send Andy. 1 billion people crying.
Okay, so the mission objective for Apollo 11 was to
get to the moon.
Yeah, genuinely?
Yeah.
That was the main mission objective. It says, this is from NASA, to complete the national goal set by President John F. Kennedy on May 25th, 1961, perform a crewed lunar landing and return to Earth. The main mission objective was to go to the moon and back.
Yeah, you're breaking new ground, aren't you? Yeah.
No, I love that. I love that it was just, let's just go there and back. Let's see what we could do. There are also other things that they had, and I'm just going to read these off verbatim. Scientific exploration by the Lunar Module, or LM, the deployment of a television camera to transmit signals to Earth, deployment of a solar wind composition experiment, seismic experiment package, and a laser-ranging retroreflector. And the two astronauts were also to gather samples of lunar surface materials to return to Earth, which they did so far, by the way, not just by these two astronauts. In total, we have brought back quite a lot of stuff from the moon. We've brought back 382 kilograms of lunar rocks and soil to Earth, and we're still studying it.
I imagine we've left more there though, because we left like the buggy there. I'm sure that weighs more than 300 kilograms.
Yeah
and some poo too, as I mentioned before.
But it's more what we're taking rather than just the 300 masses, kilograms, you know.
Imagine going to the moon and going, hi moon, I'd like to have some of your body, please. And in return, I'll leave you a car and some poo.
Look, I don't think that's how planets
and
work.
A flag.
Or
and a flag for a country you don't care about.
And some more stuff. So that's kind of the mission objectives, which, you know, is pretty straightforward. Basically, go to the moon and come back. I think this was also the last Apollo mission that was supposed to basically fly to the moon and then come back without using any fuel. So they don't have to like direct themselves to the moon. Do you know what I mean? In that they don't fire the engine. They just kind of
coast
towards the moon.
Yeah.
Coast towards the Earth back home.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be the last one to do that. They were also supposed to take lots of pictures. both like pictures of the moon, pictures of each other, pictures of all the equipment, pictures of the spaceship and all of that sort of stuff. And like videos as well, which is why there's so much footage. Like you could go online. I would genuinely recommend it. It's really cool to go and watch and listen to it. But let's go through the sort of timeline of what happened. So July 16th, 1969, it was only 7 months since Apollo 8 had gone all the way to the moon and back. That was the sort of the first manned flight sort of tour, sort of swinging around the moon. At that point, they were getting ready to launch at the Kennedy Space Center, the first mission to the moon with Neil and the other two.
Buzz and the other one.
Michael. Neil, Buzz, Michael. And Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone forgets Michael.
I didn't forget Michael.
No, you didn't.
So thank Neil, Buzz, and Michael.
They forgot Michael.
Oh no, we've left him on the moon.
Oh damn.
Everyone forgets
he wasn't
Michael.
Even supposed to go on the
he
moon.
He snuck down to the moon because he wanted to be there. They just forgot him. It was a three-stage rocket. It was 363 feet tall and used 7.5 million pounds of thrust to get into space. So it launched, as I said, at 9:32 a.m. EDT on July 16th. 12 minutes after that, the crew is out of Earth orbit. And then after, in Earth orbit. Then after 1.5 orbits, they start a translunar injection. So that was about 2 hours. That was about 2 hours after 2 hours 45 minutes after launching. they basically do a second burn for 5 minutes. Well, just under 6 minutes. And that kind of is getting them towards the moon, going towards the moon, but not quite in, I don't think they're quite in the orbit of the moon yet. And then the first color TV transmission from Earth to the Apollo 11 was during that sort of coasting after they'd done the burn. And then on July 17th, so sort of the next day, they did a 3 second burn to sort of to make a sort correct. Of course correction slightly to get towards the moon. So basically what you're doing in space, by the way, is a don't know if I need to explain this, but I will if anyone doesn't know. There is no air resistance. There is, like, obviously there's still gravity, but like you're in very, if you like kind of escape Earth's orbit, you're in wide orbits, and all you need to do is just do a little bit of thrust, like, and you start moving one way, and you'll pretty much keep on moving that way. I mean, if you're in orbit, that will affect it as well. But if you start going into deep space, you can just like do a burn and move at a certain speed, and you're kind of coasting at that.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is really interesting about going to the moon or another planet is that you're flying towards where the planet's going to be, as opposed to where it is now.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Which is you're flying at a moving object, and so you especially if you're going to Mars, for example, you'll start flying in a direction that it looks like nothing's there.
Yeah, Mars just isn't.
Yeah, and then Mars will catch you on the way.
Well, then you'll start swinging around Mars.
Yeah.
Like slowly, quite quickly, then more and more slowly until you just touch it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So they were basically trying to fly. They were flying towards the moon at that point. It became July 17th. Then on July 18th, Armstrong and Aldrin put their spacesuits on and went to the so the Columbia is the sort of the ship that doesn't go to the moon, that kind of stays in orbit around the moon, basically, or stays up. I'm not touching the surface. And the Eagle is the landing vehicle, right? So the landing module or the lunar module or whatever. The Eagle is more the sort of landing vehicle that also has that. It doesn't hugely matter the distinction in the terms. Basically, when I say the Eagle, I mean the thing that takes them down to the moon and I think also takes them back up from it. Mm-hmm. So they went in there with their spacesuits on to check it all out, to make sure everything was okay. They did a second transmission, a second little transmission on the TV, sending it down to people. And then July 19th, it had flown behind the moon. The Apollo had flown behind the moon, out of contact with the Earth. And that was when it first started to get into the lunar orbit. And that was about 75 hours. So I think about 3 days, just over 3 days after they'd sort of launched. That was them coming into the Earth, into the sort of lunar orbit. That was 240,000 miles from where they'd started. 3 days just in sitting in space which is
a long travel time.
More than 3 days, yeah. And then on July 20th, they went back into the lunar module. They did a final check, and that then at 100 hours since they'd launched, so just over 4 days, the Eagle separated from the Columbia. It undocked and separated for the Columbia so that they could give it a visual inspection. And then about an hour after that, when it was behind the moon and on its 13th orbit, it started to descend. So it's fired its engines for a little bit to get down towards the sort of moon. And this was really interesting because obviously you're kind of, after a certain point, you're basically just falling to the moon. Mm. It's kind of like, think about it like jumping out of a plane, and you don't need to provide any thrust to get down to the ground. If anything, you want to provide up thrust so you're not falling
smack
as fast
into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they were doing. So they had like sort of like a braking thrust for not very long, really. And then it was part of it, they had to manually pilot it. So Armstrong took control of it and started manually piloting it because there was a lot of stuff that was kind of going a bit weird. Essentially, the alarms were going off saying, oh, there's a problem, this problem, there's that problem, there's this problem, there's that problem. And where they were going to touch down, there was a massive crater. So he was like, maybe I'll just steer it just a little bit away. And apparently they had... very little time left, like very little fuel left for the landing. So it ran apparently it ran 40 seconds longer than they had planned to, and they were almost out of fuel by the time that they landed. So it was a little bit of a rocky start, but it was going well. Rocky because the moon, but it was going well.
Out of interest, when you say they were almost out of fuel, obviously they have fuel to leave. They're out of their, like almost out of their fuel ration. Do you know if they went into their fuel ration for leaving or if they...
No. I think there's a buffer.
Yeah.
So they were, as in the fuel, the fuel that they had to
land with.
To land, basically. Yeah. So the issue, the reason that the computer was going nuts was it was trying to do so much at once. And apparently it said, so this is a quote from Aldrin, unfortunately it came up when we did not want to be trying to solve these particular problems because the computer was trying to do too much at once and it was like, this problem's happening. I can't do this.
Yeah.
So they land with 30 seconds of fuel left, which is just ridiculous, right? That's so tight. So they're in the Eagle, this sort of like manned lunar module, which is this thing here. Oh my gosh.
It's so pretty.
You're not looking at it.
I've seen it at a science museum, or at least a remodel. It's probably a model of it. But it's like you're struck by like some of that is just tinfoil. Not literally tinfoil,
but
it's just thin metal sheets.
Michael Collins said that the Eagle... The Eagle is the weirdest looking contraption I have ever seen in the sky. And he's right. It looks like that's not a thing that should be flying, but it
look like it has any specialization for air resistance at all. And of course, it doesn't need to because there's no air resistance. No,
which is really interesting. Seeing how things can be built on the moon is just... But also, you can use a parachute on the moon as well, right? So to use that sort of falling out of a plane analogy again, when you're falling to the Earth is pulling you towards it, and you want to provide some thrust upwards. So what you could do is increase the amount of sort of air resistance that you've got, like sort of pushing you up by using a parachute, which increases the surface area. You do that on the moon,
you just fall.
I think it's like basically an exosphere. There's barely an atmosphere on the moon. Very, very little. Mm. Basically nothing. You're just going to fall. And that's why they had to use the sort of thrust to stop themselves from descending too fast. So they sort of landed. And this was obviously like a big problem because like they had no idea what it was going to be like when they landed. They didn't know if the landing was going to be soft or hard. Obviously, they found out that the ground was quite rocky and hard, which was, again... That was the like almost everything on the like going to the moon for the first time. That was like all entirely new information, which like is you almost can't fathom just how little we actually knew about that place that we were just going to because we wanted to go there. Mm-hmm. Right? It's insane. We genuinely didn't even know what the surface of it would be like. That is mental. So once they'd landed, a lot of the worries out of the way. So Armstrong said that it was his biggest worry. The unknowns were rampant. There were just 1,000 things to worry about. And so they landed at a place called the Sea of Tranquility, which is not a sea, obviously. It's just it's just a part of the moon. The moon has lots of weird names for parts of it. You should check them out. And so when they'd landed, obviously, they radioed to Mission Control in Houston, and they said, the Eagle has landed. So that's like very kind true. Of a that's famous phrase.
Yeah.
And the Eagle has landed because the thing was called the Eagle. It wasn't.
Of course, you know, it was.
Yeah.
Made exactly. by America.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Crazy. So, and the controller in Houston said, you got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Because again, we're sending these guys to the moon for the first time. Like, imagine being the guy that kind of wrote the code for, or I say the guy, imagine being the person that wrote the code for one particular part of, like, you know, the space flight and being like, oh dear God. Yeah. Okay, they got past my bit. Fantastic. Ooh, good. Okay. If they die, not my fault.
I didn't kill them.
Yeah, right?
I wonder if you have that here, but I heard that they were scheduled to have a sleep as soon as they arrived, and they were like, no.
Well, I don't know if they were scheduled to have a sleep when they arrived, but what I do know is that they were supposed to have a pause before going out, and they went out 5 hours earlier than they were supposed
right,
to.
Right. Yeah.
I think they still did have a bit of a wait, but they went out 5 hours earlier than they were supposed to. But they did have some downtime, and I know they had downtime because Buzz Aldrin did. Like, while he was not the first man to walk on the moon, he was the first man to do a holy communion on the moon.
What?
Or in space, oh, off of Earth. So that sort of, like, Christian thing, like the Christian communion, he did that in the lunar module.
What a flex.
On the moon, right?
What a Christian flex that is.
It's like, yes, I love you, God, for getting me to the moon with science.
Well, and it's interesting as well, because it is a different time. And when they came back, there were all these questions in... the news were asking, like, what it was like, what was it like being closer to God? I don't know if it was specifically for the moon, but it was when people went to space, people were asking.
That's
because
crazy.
That's the old sort of Christian, and maybe other religions as well, view of it is like, God is up, hell is down.
Yeah, even though at some point, down becomes up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really, God would be, yeah.
So in Australia, if you do good, then you go to hell. And if
you're already, to be fair, if you're in Australia, going to hell would be an upgrade.
That's very rude.
I was going to say there's less to kill you, but you're already dead in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's definitely going to be less to kill you, which is, if anything, a bonus.
Better, yeah.
No spiders in my toilets here.
Objectively
great.
Better. Yeah.
All the water's replaced with fire. That's basically Australia now anyway.
Yeah, I'm used to this.
What were they doing for those 5 hours? Why were they having those 5 hour wait? Do you know?
I think it was rest time, to be honest. I think you're right on that. But it doesn't really, even on the NASA website, it doesn't say specifically why they were
maybe they were waiting. Do you know what time, because it was broadcast at 9:32 AM US time.
Yeah, so the
so maybe that's why.
So it landed at 4:17 PM and it was at 10:39 PM, 5 hours earlier than they were supposed to go out. So they would have been supposed to be going out at about 3 or 4 AM.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, it took off at 9:30 AM.
Yeah. No. What?
What was the 9:32 AM?
9:32 was when it took off, but that was that was days before.
Yeah. So I got that wrong.
Yeah.
So it landed at 10 PM US time.
So it landed 4 PM.
Sorry, they went out at 10 p.m.
They went out at 10:40, landed at 4:20, basically.
Wow. Yeah. So, because that would have been, like...
So 11
obviously,
hours,
people will wait up.
Sleep, yeah.
But if they were waiting 5 hours, like, that would be them... Because it's a massive, like, monumental TV broadcast.
Mm.
And that would have been them going out at, like, for U.S. time, the country that sent them there, at, what, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning?
Yeah, but they can't, like, build that around, the TV thing. Because people are going to watch it anyway.
Yeah. But it's just a different experience. If it's like you wake up the next morning, some of you have to wake up the next morning and see the footage. Whereas 10 p.m., most of the country can wait up to watch.
Yeah.
Especially the kids, because it's such an inspiring thing to watch.
So 10:39, Neil Armstrong opened the hatch of the lunar module. God, this is so cool. So obviously he went down the ladder, going on to the moon. And that is when he said the... most famous phrase.
Yes. Which one did he say? Because we don't know.
Well, would you know? What? Do you not know what it is?
As
one,
in,
one small step.
There's a debate as to whether he said one small step for a man or one small step for man.
Well, why don't we listen to it and find out?
Come on, mate.
It's one small step for man.
For man.
One giant leap for mankind.
I think that's maybe an a man.
Oh, yeah.
So he
it wouldn't make sense for him to say man and then mankind.
Yeah, so he says it's Well, it could be one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That does make sense. But yeah. He said that it was once. He said one small step for a man, which is more understandable. Apparently, it's just that the connection was really spotty, so it didn't come through.
Also, it's like for a man. Yeah. It's like one noise he made there for a man. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But either way, it's. I mean, you got to think, right? You know, it's gonna be televised. You know that. Like, this is the first time anyone has left the planet and gone to another thing and been on that. How much pressure is it for just, a pilot to have to think of what to say?
Well, apparently he didn't know what he was going to say when he left.
Yeah.
He figured it out on the way.
Man, that is the equivalent of you writing your, that is, like, way worse than you writing your, your wedding speech at the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that is the spaceman equivalent of that. Yeah. Unbelievable. just completely winging. Like, what if he'd been like, whoopsie-doo? Like, he just said something ridiculous.
Wow.
Oh, it's a bit chilly.
My wife.
Wow. Definitely our generation now, or maybe Gen Z, would definitely just meme the hell out of
absolutely.
A monumental moment like that.
These nuts.
It's giving... moon, like something ridiculous, absolutely. But thank God Neil was a little bit more, a little bit smarter about it, which is great. I love that quote. So, about 650 million people, estimated 650 million people watched that on TV, which is incredible to me because we've not had a thing like that. Space launches are boring now, which sucks.
Yeah, NASA right? TV is really dull,
right?
Like it's just really slow.
Which is exactly a plot point of a Simpsons episode. So I will get into this. Buzz Aldrin joined Neil Armstrong on the moon's surface about 19 minutes later. And he said, so this is a description of what it looked like. He said, magnificent desolation. But that's a pretty boring quote. So I've got another quote from Buzz Aldrin for you, which is, second comes right after first. From the episode Deep Space Homer, season 5, episode 15 of The Simpsons, aired before any of us were born in 1994.
And is that actually, that's when I was born, actually.
Before you were born, I checked.
Okay. What was the, is that actually a quote from Buzz Aldrin? Does he voice it?
Himself? A quote from Buzz Aldrin. I have a story about this. Okay. So the writers, so this is the one where Homer goes into space because NASA realized that space launches are boring and they need to get people in, sort of invested in them again by sending just an average schlub up into space.
Yeah.
And so they pick Homer, obviously. Well, there's a competition between Homer and Barney. And Buzz Aldrin's going with Homer, along with someone else. I can't remember who it was. But they get actually Buzz Aldrin in, and they wrote a line for him, that one that you heard, second comes right after first. Amazing.
Ironically, that is actually kind of what NASA did do, is they tried to sort of inspire people by sending up a school teacher to space, and obviously it ended horribly, ended very tragically.
Yeah.
But that is, I don't know if that actually happened before or after that Simpsons episode, but I think it was early 2000s actually. They did try and sort of make it like, oh, space is getting a bit boring, let's send up an average person.
It makes total sense. So the thing is that they wrote that second comes right after first, but they were worried that he would read it and think that he was being insulted, so they also had the backup line, which was first to take a soil sample, which is not nearly as funny.
No.
But Buzz Aldrin was like, no, this is really funny. And so, there's a genuine recording of Buzz Aldrin just saying second comes right after first, which I love. Sorry. But
it's much more interesting than Magnificent Desolation.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's like, trying to be too poetic.
I mean, he should have had Simpsons writers writing for him way back in the... No. But I think it's really funny. It's really odd being a very famous person. Almost... in relation to the moon, the second most famous person of all time, but also not being the first guy on the moon, because you were one of the first people to do that, but you weren't the first.
To be fair, you definitely, as the second person to go to the moon, you have the opportunity to meme it.
Yeah,
because the first one's already been great and poignant, so now you've got to really stand out somehow.
I feel like if you did that, then people would look down on you more.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe some people, but some other people would think you're a legend.
Oh yeah, I think he's a total legend, and he's the only one still alive, so that tells you something.
Well, yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, he's 90. He's in his 90s now.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
Can't believe there's someone alive that's stood on something that's not Earth.
Yeah, right.
And that's crazy to think about.
a number.
I know
we're
desensitized to the moon, but that is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy. Like reading into this, like, because I just kind of like put it out of my mind, but reading into this, it was so cool. Finding it like just more moon stuff.
That's actually a really funny joke, because normally we would say that kind of thing of like, I can't believe there's someone still alive who fought in World War II, as in something that happened a long time ago and feels like a thing that happened in the past.
Whereas
space feels like a future thing. Yes. The idea that like someone's still alive that walked on the moon, like in the future, like 50 years from now, 100 years from now, that would be the most normal thing. There'd be loads of people who've walked on the moon.
Half a century,
the moon landing.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. It's like over half a century ago. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's just really funny to me that something so incredibly, like an incredible scientific achievement, is also something that has happened in the past and that we haven't recreated. That seems like the wrong way around.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, but feeling like we've always grown up in a world where people have, like, gone to the moon. We've never lived in a world where the moon is not accessible to some extent, right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because I feel like almost desensitizes us just slightly to the magnitude of just sending some people up to the moon.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Because we were born and we're like, oh, we've already been there. Okay, cool.
Yeah, fine. Exactly, right? It's like, oh, the moon. There's can't like, be no, that someone's hard. Been there. And you're like, well, someone's been there? When you're a kid, like, I think you should not tell anyone. We should not tell children that people have been to the moon. We need to wait till they're adults and then they can find out.
Yeah.
Out of interest, I don't know, you definitely won't have this in there, but I would love if we do an episode on the moon landing and the training and everything for you to find this out. I read somewhere once that there was this secret thing with the astronauts going to the moon. They had like some code word or something they had to say when they got back in case they were abducted by aliens and replaced.
Oh, I heard about this, yeah. I have heard about that.
As if the aliens couldn't just like probe their brain and find out the word.
Yeah, but the code word, no. Yeah, but the code was something that, oh, that was it. I have heard this, but the code word was something that if the aliens had replaced them, they would be able to know.
Right. I'm fascinated to find this out. That's a little spoiler teaser for the next one.
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head.
No, don't spoil it. It's for the next episode.
Oh, that's so frustrating because it's there. I know that story that you're talking about. So, just back to this.
Incredible foresight to think of that as you're like, hang on, but what if aliens abducted them?
Yeah, but they did it really poorly. We'll get to it. We'll get to it next time. So, they put down the camera about 30 feet away from 30 feet away from them. They spoke to President Nixon on the phone, which is just a phone call to space. That's cool.
Hello.
To the moon.
Sorry. Do you know the Tim Peake story about this?
No.
Okay, so Tim Peake organized to have a phone call with, I forget who it was, but basically Tim Peake organized to have a phone call, and Texas, where the mission control is, calls this person and goes, like connects them, and and then Tim Peake goes, hello, is that Earth? And the person receiving the call thinks it's a prank call and they hang up. And Tim Peake's there on the International Space Station, like on the phone to you. And because it says the phone number, it says it's from like Texas,
Houston,
it doesn't say it's from.
Because like,
what were they expecting?
Through.
Space? It would just come up saying space.
Why did they call a random number?
Sorry?
Did they call a random
number? No. I forget the details of the story, but basically, Tim Peake calls somebody from the International Space Station. The person thinks it's a prank call and hangs up.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So they put they just landed. They put the tripod down a bit away from them. They speak to Nixon on the phone and they explore the surface for 2.5 hours, get a bunch of samples, take pictures, do a few little tests. We spoke about all of this already. And they got up to about 300 feet away from the Eagle. So Aldrin deployed the early Apollo scientific experiments package with the ESIP experiments, and Armstrong and Aldrin together got a whole bunch of samples of the surface, and they also reported verbally, so they just said what they were seeing essentially as well, and yeah, exactly. and this really sucks because Aldrin had spent an hour and a half there, and then he went back onto the sort of lunar module, and then Armstrong got to stay out another 41 minutes later. So he was on the surface of the moon for a full hour more than Aldrin.
Rude.
Wow. Yeah. This lasted 2.5 hours total. It ended at, also imagine spending all that time, days. And being on the moon for 2.5 hours. I mean, best 2.5 hours of your life.
Yeah.
But like, you know that you're not getting to go back there.
Yeah, you have to just go back up and watch it disappear forever.
But also, when you're on Earth, you're like, ha, I was there.
I was literally there.
It's like, do you when you see, do you when like if one of your friends or something is in a film and you're like, I know them.
Yeah, sure. Right? Imagine it's like that, but every night you see the moon.
Oh God.
I was there.
So by 11 minutes past 1 on July 21st, both of them were back in the lunar module. The hatch was closed, and they were covered in moon soil, which is much like.
Oh no!
What
is it going to like go off into all the instruments?
Well, no, actually, it was just really clingy, and it couldn't. It was very difficult to brush off. So obviously they weren't in sort of like super like low gravity at that point. It was like 17% Earth gravity, but it wasn't low enough for like things to be floating around, like, you know. So it wasn't that bad. So they couldn't brush it off. So when they got back to the lunar module and repressurized the module, all the lunar dirt that was on their like sort of suits was in the sort of cabin, and it started to stink. Apparently, it smelled like wet fireplace ashes or like air after a fireworks show. So kind of like a gunpowdery smell. Mm. And so we couldn't figure out what that smell was, because by the time they got it back to Earth, the smell had gone. But apparently, like the idea is that like it's basically like a dry desert on the moon. It's like it's so incredibly dry, more dry than you could like imagine. Like there's no like rain or anything like that. Like our world is very wet.
Yeah.
Just all the time. So wet. But the moon is not. Mm. Right? And there's no wind or anything either. So as soon as, like, you know, you sort of bring that moon dust into the lunar module where it's still a little bit wet, it's quite wet, it's humid or whatever, suddenly it just gets, like, the water kind of gets into it and it starts to release an odor, and you can kind of smell that. But then, like, it just, after a while, it just starts to dissipate. The idea is that just apparently the smell was only there because it had just come into contact with that sort of moist air for like the first time.
Yeah, because it's incredibly, like, that stuff is also being pelted by radiation from the sun, so it's incredibly dry.
Oh, super dry.
And so like any liquid, it's maybe going to have a chemical reaction.
Yeah, I mean, apparently there's evidence of some water having existed on the moon at some point, but whatever. So that was them back in the lunar module, and they slept that night on the surface of the moon in the cool. module.
Oh, that's cute.
So cool.
But you'd want to just wake up and go back out.
I'd be so excited, you know, like sleeping on the moon.
Yeah,
so
that
cool.
must feel like that's what Christmas felt like as a kid.
Yeah, I'm feeling like I'm thinking that like this whole time is like, so the entire lead up to getting there is like Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
and there's just a constant Christmas.
Yeah, and then getting there and having to wait for a few hours.
Oh,
that's
God.
Waking up too early on Christmas morning, and your parents don't want to wake up.
Yeah, but then they just go out early anyway.
Yeah.
I love that. And so that was them back on the module. They just need to get back up to the ship and go back to Earth, right? Or, you know, I say the ship. You know what I mean. I'm not going to be using the exact technical language because I can't be bothered remembering what the name of it is called. So they're back in the sort of the LM. And you might have heard of this. Do you know the pen story? The story of the pen?
No.
Okay, so they were wearing these big, bulky sort of life support things. And Buzz Aldrin, when he was getting back into the lunar module, kind of knocked something. And it was a circuit breaker switch. And it broke off. And so this is a quote from Neil Armstrong. He said, "It's very cumbersome. You're like the Frankenstein monster and you have this big backpack on your back." He could have picked something that was not very important, but he banged into the circuit breaker that controls the engine that got us back into orbit.
Oh,
so Buzz Aldrin knocked that and it just like broke off. And they were like, oh no. Well,
oh, no.
Guess we're stuck here. So at that point they were like, oh, what are we going to do? Like, what's going on? They didn't think that the circuit breaker would trip on liftoff, but they wanted to make sure. And because, like, obviously if it did, then they'd be stuck on the moon.
They'd fall back to ground, maybe.
Yeah. Or they just wouldn't be able to, like, get up at all. Mm. Another quote from Armstrong, "It was just insurance. It's nice to get a little insurance." He was being paid by insurance companies at the time, of course. No. So what they were looking around, they found a ballpoint pen, a metal ballpoint pen. They were like, ah, this can be done. Hold on, electricity. No metal ballpoint pen. What can we use instead? They found a felt tip pen, which was being used to write stuff. That was like that needed to be visible to like very visible. So obviously like it's much wider like than a ballpoint pen. And so they had that and they just jammed it in.
Wow.
They jammed it into the circuit breaker. And it hit the switch, which engaged the circuit breaker and triggered the engine. So I think this is a quote from Buzz Aldrin. So I pushed that in. Houston says, "Oh, we've got a good complete circuit." And that was it. They were able to get back. That.
Imagine if they hadn't taken that bend.
Imagine if they hadn't figured it out as well. They'd just be stuck like two corpses on the moon. And Nixon actually had a speech prepared for if they died. Like,
Of course.
I mean, you'd have to. Apparently he was stressing the entire time, just thinking like, I don't have to read this speech. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't have to, which is really lovely.
That's nice.
And so at 1:54 p.m., the Eagle started ascending back to the command module. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had spent 21 hours, 36 minutes, just under a day on the surface of the moon. They left a bunch of stuff behind. So an American flag, a patch that honored the Apollo 1 crew, a plaque on one of the Eagle's legs, which said, "Here, men from the planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 AD. We came in peace for all mankind." There were some other things like
but that's a lie. They didn't come to do anything bad, but like you said, that secretly the sort of idea behind the mission was in order to gain the upper hand.
They came in peace to the moon.
They individually came in peace to the moon.
Yeah, but it was the sending that wasn't peaceful, I suppose. The coming was perfectly peaceful.
Right. I just feel like it's a little bit of like, if there's actually a kind of political, like geopolitical power game going on in the moon, then sort of putting on the idea that you came in peace, you're sort of aware that you're not doing it.
Yeah, but they're never going to... When is America ever going to... America always does all this... America says that everything they do is for peace.
Yeah.
Even when it's a war.
We came with hostility.
Yeah, like, we started this war for peace.
I just feel like if you're not doing everything in peace and you're constantly asserting that you are, then you know that doing everything in peace is at least desirable and maybe better. And then you're just not doing that. That just seems like strange.
You can't get rich off of peace, buddy.
Mental gymnastics people are doing. Yeah, but if you have peace, you don't need to get rich.
No, because you want rich. But you don't understand. You don't understand. Want rich.
But hang on. You don't understand. Don't need rich if peace.
So I feel you're saying don't need rich, and I feel like you don't understand here.
Yeah.
Want rich.
But don't need rich if peace.
You're very confused.
Peace is the antidote to your want.
Right.
Not the antidote to rich. It's the antidote to your want.
But if rich.
Yes.
Then.
Not peace, though.
No want.
Do you want peace? Because you're saying you want peace. You're saying very loudly that you want peace. But you actually want rich?
Want peace.
Rich. Okay, right. I see the game you're playing.
Want peace.
You want rich, but then you're saying you want peace, but you really want rich.
Yes, I want peace.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. You got it. So
okay.
So
weird game you're playing there, buddy.
They left the moon surface. They left a bunch of stuff, like I said. A 1.5-inch silicon disc, which had miniaturized goodwill messages from 73 countries, the names of congressional and NASA leaders. Those were also there, along with, you know, a bunch of other stuff as well. Although, are you certain that they left their...
Poo?
I thought they shot that into space.
No, I think they left it on the moon.
Really?
I think maybe they also shot it into space. I don't know if they pooed on the way, then they shot that out into space. I'm there, like 99% certain that they left some poo on the moon.
Okay.
I don't know if they shot poo into space.
Because I was trusting you on that for that whole time, and I hadn't checked it. So you've gone out and you've said you're 99% sure. So if someone says that you're wrong about that,
You can correct me. That is fine.
You've gone out on a limb, and we'll trust you.
Do your own research at home. Correct him.
There are 96 bags of poo on the moon. 96 bags of poo.
And wow, 94 of those are from Neil Armstrong. Fun fact. So they blast off. They dock with Columbia.
They certainly did blast off.
Very
96
good.
Times.
there's also other missions to the moon as well, which have probably left some stuff there. They blast off from the moon. They dock with Columbia and meet Collins again, who was just sitting watching his two mates on the moon, like
massive
fumble from that. Exactly. My God, yeah, you must be able to bring a book or something.
Bored and jealous.
Oh, no, he's working. Anyway, so he said that, you know, once they docked and they were back and they were flying back to Earth, for the first time, I really felt that we were going to carry this thing off. which, like, they've basically done the important part. They just need to get back. And he was like, yeah, I feel like we've done it now. I feel like we've really got, we're really going to be able to do this,
yeah. You know,
which, fair enough. And so that was at 5:30 in the evening. And then
it's so funny to use Earth time to talk about things that happened in, not even on the moon, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. So what time is it? What do you mean, what time is it? We're in space. It's
whatever time you want it to be. So at 12:56 a.m. on July 22nd, the Apollo 11 began its journey home, and it splashed down in the Pacific Ocean just outside Hawaii at 12:50 p.m. on July 24th. But what did the astronauts have to do after that?
Quarantine.
No, not swim.
No, not swim.
I just swim home.
sorry, guys. Look, honestly,
I really think we're going
to be honest. This whole spaceship moon stuff cost a lot of money. We had to skimp on the journey home, so you have to pay for your own taxes back to your house.
Yeah, sorry.
Christ.
Here's some flippers that just dropped some little flippers into the ocean.
From a helicopter.
We managed to get these snorkels for you as well.
Oh, that's so nice of you, to be fair.
Flippers and snorkels.
I thought I was just going to have flippers. Snorkels too? I can have a look at the fishies.
Yeah, but they're cheap ones. They're like $3 for $1.
Oh, they're going to leak.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Oh. And also, honestly, after having gone to the moon, I feel like you'd be like, I don't want to go swimming. Like he'd be like,
that's
I'm
too
a
much.
Nasher.
Yeah.
It'd be culture shock. You know, You're used to a dry old moon that you got covered in wet.
It's the opposite. Yeah, of
I don't want that.
Suit's gonna be so smelly.
Wade through a lot.
Don't think they're swimming in their space. They took them off. So they landed at the Pacific Ocean 12:50 on July 24th, and then they were quarantined. And the reason we were quarantined is because we hadn't sent anyone to the moon before. We were like, what if there was a space plague,
space virus,
space aliens,
and yeah. So what if there was a space plague that was like, you know, that had come back to Earth? They were like, we need to quarantine you for a bit. So they were quarantined to in a mobile quarantine facility where they were then sent to the NASA Lunar Receiving Laboratory at Johnson Space Center, and then they were in a larger quarantine facility, and they had to stay there until August 10th, 1969. Imagine that, July 22nd to August 10th. That's like a good while, right? You're not able to leave.
Sorry, when you say the NASA Lunar Receiving, is that's a new thing, I assume. They didn't have that lying around before they went to the moon.
No, they made it for them. Going,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I just feel like if something's made for the purpose that you're the first person to ever use it, then you're not... I don't know, I'm just being pedantic. Carry on. So, I just mean like NASA Lunar Receiving Module.
Yeah, but we're saying this in the future.
We are saying this in the future.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Yeah, because it wasn't really the NASA Lunar Receiving Module then. It was just the place they set up to receive them.
Mm.
And now it has a name.
So in the press conference after the flight, Armstrong said that it was a beginning of a new age, and Collins was talking about future journeys to Mars. And then over the next 3.5 years, 10 astronauts would follow in their footsteps. The last person to leave, the last person to go to the moon on an Apollo mission said, "We leave as we came, and God willing, as we shall return with peace and hope for all mankind." Stop saying that.
Again with the peace.
You did it because of the Cold War, buddy. Stop it. Stop the lies.
Well, they did the first one for the Cold War. After that, probably not for the Cold War.
Look, do you know why they stopped going to the moon?
Because the Cold War ended?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
God, that's so stupid.
They genuinely, they couldn't justify it. Essentially, I think one of the reasons that they stopped sending people like on those missions is because there wasn't much need for it. Like, there's only so much information you can gain about the moon, and like the scientific advancement you can get from it is like limited. And if you're not doing it to own the Soviets, why are you doing it? You know, and because they had to like obviously get a lot of money to do it. And I mean, that is more or less the end of the episode. I mean, the Soviets obviously at that point were trying to get to the moon at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They did not manage it. In fact, they wanted to send a robotic. Basically a robot to the moon before the Americans got there, but kind of had a bit of a bad time getting it there. So they ended up being not arriving until 2 days after the Americans had left.
Oh.
Yeah, and also they
feel like Neil could have just like smacked it with a baseball bat on the way back to Earth.
Bonk.
Yeah, just lean out the window. Lean out the spaceship window.
Bonk.
They were being really secretive about it. And then also, like, because they didn't want people knowing that they were trying to get to the moon before they got there. And then afterwards, they were trying to be really secretive about it because they didn't want anyone knowing that they were trying to get to the moon and didn't get there first.
Oh, gutted.
Don't feel bad for either of them.
Sorry.
And that is it. That is the story of the moon landing.
Hooray!
Woo.
Or so they say.
No, champ.
I'm sorry.
Well, champ, if you are so skeptical about the moon landing, why don't we do an episode on the conspiracy theories around the moon landing next?
Oh, I could bring them.
Yeah. Well, next time we do a moon landing
episode.
Why was the
flag waving if there was no wind?
Can you tell Jamp and I when we're doing that episode? Because Jamp and I can then bring our most obscure moon landing conspiracy theories.
Oh, I will absolutely tell you. So for everyone listening, this is obviously the first episode of the year. We start as we mean to go on. You know, it's a big Sci Guys episode, a big topic that people have been wanting for quite some time.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of new, great new episodes coming for you soon. But maybe we'll do this in March or something. Huh?
Cool.
We'll do the conspiracies episode in March. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that.
Time to jump down the rabbit hole, Jamp.
Yes.
We could do it as a Patreon vote as well. So if you want us to do that sooner, vote for it on Patreon. Head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/SciGuys, and sort that out there. But before we end the show, we've got one last thing to do.
Dun, 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 dun.
The quick quiz. Dun, 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 dun. Moon landing edition. But the real moon landing.
So the rules for the quick fire quiz are the same as always. I feel like you're aging me. I feel like I'm aging. So the rules for the quick fire quiz are the same as always. I will ask one question. That's one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after I finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Jamp?
Nothing.
You gosh darn right.
Moon.
Just like the Soviets did when they
just
got
like
to the
Michael
moon.
Collins.
Oh, he got to orbit.
Poor Michael.
If I win this quick fire quiz and I get to orbit the moon, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but that's compared to sitting in this studio. If it was orbiting the moon compared to going to the moon,
okay,
I feel like you'd be a little bit disappointed.
It's like me just going home.
Yeah, right.
Been sent home by you.
So, Luke, what is your buzzer?
Ooh. Sorry.
That's the same as...
Okay.
That was the same as last week.
The sound of me landing on the moon.
Good, good. Champ, what's your buzzer?
One small step.
Very good.
Very good. Okay. Yeah.
Why are you saying it with a full mouth?
That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
I'm doing the interference.
Okay.
That wasn't interference. That's just what Neil Armstrong said.
Open your mouth, Neil.
It's actually crisp, crystal clear quality.
So my question for you both is two-pronged. I've got two different questions. I usually do one question, but both of them are so
two
good.
Two questions for 2022.
So first question is, what date was the moon landing?
One small step.
I think Jamp is going to get that one.
Okay, July 20th, 1969.
Wow.
Is when they landed on the moon.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow, good job.
Ooh. Ooh, I remember.
I included a second question because I didn't expect either of you to get this date question. So the next question for you both is, what is Buzz Aldrin's real name?
Oh, God.
Oh.
I said it like three times.
I know, but I kind of know it.
I kept trying to memorize all the times. In case
one small step.
Jamp.
Is it Edwin Buzz Aldrin?
Yes! Amazing! What a brilliant start to this year. Well, fantastic work, Jan. Well done. Look at that. You're listening. Luke, do better.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You really are the Buzz Aldrin of this. No, you're the Michael Collins of this Collins. Trio.
Oh.
You can just get in your car and circle around the studio.
Actually, Luke, can you go warm up the car, please? No, we'll do the actual. Go warm up the car.
We're gonna dance around in here for a bit.
I'm just gonna drive home and leave you on the moon.
No,
you need me more than I need you.
Yeah, but imagine going back to Earth and being told and like having
you'd left them back.
They were taken over by space aliens. Like, that's not. I mean, that's not out of spite.
Well, no.
And they go back for him.
They do. Yeah. Would you come back for us?
Yeah, maybe, but only once you were dead. Come back for your bodies.
Only once he's cooled off a little bit. He's like, you know what, actually, maybe leaving those two stranded on the moon was a little bit harsh. I guess I'll turn this thing around.
I hope they made potatoes.
with what?
Yeah, well, that's what Matt Damon did. He made potatoes on Mars.
On Mars.
Yeah.
Wrong planet.
Yeah.
Not a planet.
Anyway, why don't we get back to finishing this episode? So, you know, Happy New Year. Hope you have enjoyed this episode of Sci Guys. We definitely enjoyed making it. We've got so much cool stuff coming this year. So many changes, you know, little changes, big changes, lots of cool little things coming your way. We're going to be maybe stepping things up this year, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan.
Great, fantastic. Well, I think that's all from us. So before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons and thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can also support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, and you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and here on YouTube too. And you can follow us at SciGuys on TikTok too, or join the community on our Discord, or get our merch over at normalcitizen.store. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
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 You can follow me at NotCore everywhere.
Follow me at Jim Canavera.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
Goodbye.
One drone loop from a card.
Second comes right after first.
Goodbye.
Magnificent desolation.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.